Love Talk Radio.
Otherwise, Katria is going to get me told.
some of you may call it Leviticus. But before we get started, I'd like to make mention that the numbers seem to be increasing of the lives that have been taken by this COVID-19. I'm a very suspicious man by nature. And I'm wondering why, maybe there's a good reason why the numbers are increasing. But I have my theories, but I'm not going to provide those theories with you. But I just want you to be careful out there. I want you to do the best you can. Take some black seed oil, take some zinc, wash your hand, put your mask on, stay away from people, follow instructions, and do the best you can with what you have. But I have a lot of more questions to the authorities. One is which, why are the attention focused on us with taking these viruses, these so-called vaccines? Number two, why aren't you focusing on other nations within this multination culture? And why aren't you using poster children for them as you try to use for us? And how do I know that whatever you're giving these people publicly is just but a vial of sugar water? And why am I suspicious? I have good reason to be. I have 401 years of good reason to be. You name any area of my life, be it health, labor, law, politics, credit, hospitals, doctors, lawyers, the criminal organization, the criminal justice organization, the so-called war on drugs, where they name cocaine is just a debilitating situation that which we have some control of. But yet, in the so-called white community, opiates, that's a problem. We need to help them. We don't need to help those niggas in the community with their drug addiction. But no, we need to help the poor white folk with their opioid addiction. See, I got a whole lot of questions I need answers. And the major question is this. If you're not concerned about all areas of my life, why should you be concerned about one area of my life? You want me to repeat that? If you're not concerned about every area of my life, why should you be concerned about any or one area of my life? Yes, I got a whole lot of questions. But welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. Show that is designed to study the word of the Most High, and whom you should place your devotion and trust. The Most High said, trust no man. And I'm going to take that to heart as far as these vaccines are concerned. I hope you take it to heart too. Trust no man. I only trust Yah. And I recommend and advise you to do the very same thing as far as vaccines, anything else for that matter. Truth be told. But before we get started, I'm going to bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cottrell. Cottrell, Gregory called him Coattail. I'm sorry, Cottrell. Every time I think about it, well, Gregory, he called me soup. I'm a can of soup. I'm good with it. I know you're good with it. Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, your mic is hot. Shalom. Go ahead, Cottrell.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Yaakov. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yamsu Fari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother friend. I'm just meddling. I hope you don't take this. I'm being silly. I'm sorry, brother.
Don't let me unleash the real meaning of my name, because I'll take that down right now.
That's why I apologize very rapidly.
Okay. Don't let me unleash the power of my name. I ain't going to tell you what it means. Because I'm going to let little Gregory slide, because I know you have trouble pronouncing names, so he got an excuse.
See, there,
he's five
see,
years
there
old.
You go. See, there you go.
Uh-huh.
I know you were going to let this slide. How's it
but
going,
I can tell you, man.
What's
they,
up, brother?
They don't put our interest first in nothing else but this vaccine. All of a sudden now, we the most important people on the planet that need to get the freaking vaccine. Well, hold up, time out. Let's do a rewind here, because y'all got us living in toxic waste neighborhoods where y'all put all your toxic waste, which compromises our health. How come we wasn't first on that money stimulus package? Huh?
Exactly.
You put us first there, because we're in the same position there. Financially,
exactly.
Our financial health is just as bad as our physical health, but y'all ain't put us first when it came to the financials, did y'all?
Exactly.
So as long as y'all ain't putting us financially first, I'll take care of my own health. I don't even take aspirin. So go ahead with yourself with the needle, and it has to be that Daniel moment. I am not bowing down to your God. No way, no how, no shape, no form. You could throw me in a lion's den or a fiery furnace. I am not compromising.
Exactly. I concur, my brother. I concur.
They ain't telling you what's in that toxic concoction. They don't know the results. They don't know the outcome. They ain't running no tests. They sped right through this vaccination. But they ain't come up with a vaccine for HIV yet, have they?
No, they come up with pills, happy pills. You can have sex and don't give it to nobody else. I call them happy pills.
But there's no vaccine for that. And how long HIV been out?
Since the
90s.
80s,
right?
80, what, 85? I think 1985, something like that.
Yeah, man. And you ain't got a vaccine yet for that, but you got a vaccine all of a sudden, quick overnight. For a vaccine, I mean, a virus y'all ain't never even heard. Y'all ain't know where it's coming from. Something smelled like dead fish.
In Denmark.
I saw a video where they were showing a doctor, right? He's supposed to be being an example for taking the vaccination, right?
Right.
In the video, they show another doctor. He takes the needle out of the pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
He rolls up the sleeve on the other doctor's arm. He sticks the needle directly into the guy's arm and then takes it out as if he shot the vaccine in his arm. Meantime, he didn't take the needle out the pack and put it in, you know, the vaccine formula and draw it out, put it in the needle, and then stick it in his arm. He took the needle out the pack and directly stuck it into his arm. He didn't even pull the syringe nozzle up because if he had did that, he would have put air in his vein, and that air in his vein would have pumped into his heart and gave him a heart attack. But he didn't even raise the top of the needle. They'll put anything in it, but he's showing that a doctor is bold enough to get this vaccination. Come on, man.
Yeah,
somebody
right.
caught it on camera.
Yeah. Don't play nobody no fool, man.
Yeah, they're trying to play us for fools, man.
Mm-hmm. Just like they use a black nurse during the Tuskegee incident, or Tuskegee massacre. Let's call it what it was, the Tuskegee massacre, where they use her in order to encourage the people down there in Tuskegee to take that so-called vaccine, which really was something to give our brothers and sisters syphilis. So don't go put nobody just because they look like us and on the TV try to pretend like they taking something, okay? Yeah. What is that old saying?
We're the poster child for our own destruction.
Exactly. But Katya, what's that old saying, fool me once?
Shame on me.
All right. Well,
fool me twice, shame on you.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how the saying go.
I think it goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay? Because if I do the same thing over, that's on me. If I know you to fool me the first time, shame on you. But, and I let you come back at me, well, shame on me then. For letting you come back at me, I know you did me the first time wrong. Come on now.
The last poet says it's the same game by a different name.
That's all it is, brother. We've been doing this for 401 years, okay? When is something, when is people going to wake up, Cartrell?
When we going to wake up?
Yeah.
When our backs are to the wall, we have to cry to the Most High, and he comes and delivers us. That's
exactly
when we're going to wake up. And may not even then, because that's what we did in ancient Egypt, right? We cried to Yah. He came, and we still were sleeping, sleepwalking, wasn't it?
Right. Okay, thank you, Contreras. But turn to Why ye creek?
Ra, shish kumba.
Go ahead. You need to stop it.
Why ye ra, shish kumba.
Okay, got you. Why? You're quick. Why? You're quick.
If you could throw the roll in it, that would even be better. Why ye kra?
Okay.
And he called. It's a declaration by the Most High. He's declaring
exactly
what he wants from his people. It's a declaration.
Exactly. Why ye kra? Okay, y'all. Mm-hmm. Chapter 3 of Why Ye Kra. And the Most High is still giving out specification on the worship and how to worship him. And the specification in that regard.
And where to worship him.
And the way to worship. The who,
where?
What, when, where. The who, what, when, where, and how. You ain't got to figure nothing out. Just follow instructions. He said, if his offering is a sacrifice of well-being, you're doing an offering for a sacrifice of well-being. If he offers of the herd, now if he offers from his herd, whether it's male or female, he should bring it before the Elohim, one without blemish, the finest, the choicest. He should lay his hand upon it. You can't bring no knock-kneed, cripple, cockeyed one, you know, with spots all. You got to bring, it doesn't matter, did it spot it. But it's got to be without blemish. One knock-kneed, cockeyed. No, don't be playing, okay? Okay? You got to be one without blemish. He should lay his hand upon the head of his offering and slaughter it at the entrance of the tent of meeting, outside the tent. And Aaron's son, the priest, should dash the blood against all sides of the altar. He should then present from the sacrifice a way of being as an offering by fire to the Elohim. The fat is what you're supposed to get out of that offering for the fire. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is about the entrails, the two kidneys, the fat that is on them, that is at the loins, and the tuberson of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Aaron's sons, the priests, shall turn these into smoke on the altar with the burnt offering, which is upon the wood that is on the fire, as an offering by the fire and a pleasing odor to the Elohim. If his offering for a sacrifice of well-being to the Elohim is from the flock, whether male or female, he shall bring one without blemish. If he presents a sheep at his offering, he shall bring it before the Elohim and lay his hand on the head of his offering. It shall be slaughtered before the tent of the meeting, and Aaron's son shall dash blood, his blood, against all sides of the altar. He shall then present as an offering by fire to the Elohim the fat from the sacrifices of well-being, the whole broad tail, which shall be removed close to the backbone, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is about the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, that is at the loins, and the protuberance on the liver, which shall be removed with the kidneys. Priests shall turn these into smoke on the altar as food, as an offering by fire to the Elohim. If his offering is a goat, he shall bring it before the Elohim and lay his hand upon his head, and shall be slaughtered before the tent of the tabernacle. And Aaron's son shall dash his blood against all sides of the altar. He shall then present as an offering from it, as an offering by the fire to the Elohim, the fat that covers the entrails, all the fat that is about the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, that is at the loins and the protuberance on the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall turn these into smoke on the altar as food and offer by fire a pleasing odor. All fat is the Elohim's. It is a law for all times throughout the ages and all your settlements. You must not eat any fat of blood. You don't want to eat no fat meat of blood. Go ahead, Cottrell.
This is another offering. Burnt offering, we had the sin offering, then we had the peace offering. So pretty much the same order, but in this peace offering, you could offer a male or a female. It had to be without blemish. But you still had to put your hands upon it, and you still had to kill it yourself. So it was a process. How people go to the supermarket and don't see the butchering process. And a lot of us are meat eaters. We don't run up to McDonald's or Burger King or, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, but we don't know the beginning process of taking the life of that animal.
Yeah.
It's really a spiritual thing.
Right. And you know what? I took no cartel of the last sentence there. All that fat that the Most High talked about in regards to the kidney,
right,
the protuberance, the broad tail, all that fat around all those articles he spoke about, you don't eat none of that fat. None whatsoever.
Right.
And no blood. You know, I've heard people eat blood pudding and so on and so forth. Most High said you don't supposed to eat blood, period. All that fat around all those articles that the Most High made mention of, around the kidneys, the entrails, the protuberance, the broad tail, you don't supposed to. And you know what? I think because, truth be told, Cartrio, I think because a lot of us are doing things quite contrary to what the Most High says, I think it leaves us susceptible to these so-called plagues and eating fat around those articles mentioned and eating blood. Give me a bloody steak. Don't make it medium rare. You know, no, you don't supposed to do that. Well done.
Or rare.
Right.
And the parasites, they say, large in the fat of animals, parasites.
That's what I'm getting at, bro.
Where the worm.
Yeah.
Lays its eggs and all that. And then the blood is the life of the animal. So you're not supposed to eat the life of the animal, which is the blood.
Right.
Because the blood is an amazing thing, right? When you take an aspirin, the blood takes that aspirin right to the pain center where the pain is at, right?
Exactly.
And the blood also, keeps the body warm. I mean, 98 degrees.
Exactly.
I don't know how it does it, but inside your body, it's supposed to be 98 degrees. And the Most High gives specific instructions. They knew the anatomy of the animal, the liver, the lobe, above the liver, the two kidneys. So they know the body part, as well as modern science did. And specific parts, the fat and the blood, were for the Most High. The fat representing really prosperity. Because anything that's fat is eating good. So the Most High wanted that fat to smoke upon the altar for himself. You know, when fat burns, it turns to like oil and ignites the fire even more.
Exactly.
So, and the Most High reason why these sacrifices are laid out like they are, and common man couldn't do it because the priest had to be involved, right?
Exactly.
You had to kill it. The priest had to dress it, and the priest had to burn it. And a portion
right.
of that offering went to the priests who anointed.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Didn't go to you. It went to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the those articles, as far as the kidneys, the entrails, the broad tails, and the fat surrounding those articles, the protuberance, and all those articles, and the fat surrounding them, you're just supposed to eat none of that fat. That's not yours. Wherever you are throughout your settlements, don't eat it. And no blood belongs to Yah, which belongs to that animal. And so I think because some of us are making a mistake of doing so, even in these captivities, it leaves us susceptible to a lot of diseases. I think the Most High knows what he was doing when he said, don't eat it. He gave us good reason. So that's my theory. That's one of my theories, that because we're eating the fat around those kidneys, the protuberance, the broad tail, and so on and so forth, it leaves us susceptible to a lot of diseases.
And not only that, we eat all kind of animals, unclean mm-hmm. animals that we're not supposed to be eating at all.
Truth
and imagine eating their fat and eating their blood.
Yeah, and talk about one unclean animal in particular is the pig. You know, we have been very pigalicious for us people. We have been, that's what they gave us on the plantation, pigalicious. As a matter of fact, they didn't even give us the whole pig. They gave us the entrails, the stomach. Them things stinking when they be cooking. And it's still, eating unclean animals leaves us susceptible. Animals that are killed, that you hadn't slaughtered. A dead animal that you found and whatnot, you know. A dead animal that you found in your flock that you didn't slaughter, you know. So, I mean, it died for some reason. And what you eating it for? I mean, if you didn't slaughter it, even if it was a clean animal, and it died, what you got it on the table for? Come on, man. We don't even use no common sense. Go ahead, Cartier.
Well, we, you know, all kind of creatures out of the sea, mm-hmm. and we don't know who's really feeding us the food we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
They had a Chinese restaurant. They had to close it down because they was feeding people cats.
Oh, Lord.
Meow,
meow, man, Lord.
And when you eat shellfish like lobster and shrimp and clams,
yep.
you're eating the animals that clean the sea.
Exactly.
They eat the waste
and
products
our women,
of other animals.
And our women are prone to love lobsters. I'm going to go to Red Lobster. They're prone to love lobster. A high expensive, deadly food. A high expensive, deadly food, as Cartier alluded to. A cleanup animal, a garbage truck, a pig of the sea. We just love
a sea roach.
Right. Mm-hmm. Clams, lobsters, shrimp,
mussel.
Mm-hmm. Muscle. Mm-hmm. They sea cleaners. They sea cleaners. Lake cleaners. And we eat the worst of all animals. Then you wonder why. My theory is this is Cartier with these plagues, some of these plagues. The animals that we eat are the track frame, the track to your health. And I think if you asked a lot of those people that passed away, I can assure you, most of them were eating unclean animals. They were eating pig, lobsters, clam, shrimp, and so on and so forth. I can assure you. And that lays a trackway for these plagues to ride on down up in your body. I mean, common sense ought to tell you. That's why the Most High told you don't eat them. He knew better. And we just slopping down at the Red Lobster. Like I said, Katya, a lot of our sisters that unaware of the truth, they'll tell you, you know. Ask them on the first date, well, where you like to meet at and get to know each other? I like to go to Red Lobster. Well, I tell them like this. No, society. Yeah, I think we need to cancel this date. Okay, I mean, come on. I already know first quarter what type sister you are. You don't follow the instructions. You don't follow the Most High. So we ain't going to even entertain you going to Red Lobster, a Backyard Lobster, a Sideways Lobster, Upside Down Lobster, or any which way you go lobster. Okay? Because my money ain't buying that. I remember a time back ago, Cartrell, maybe several years ago, a woman wanted me to take her out. And I think she says, I said, well, I'm not buying that. What do you mean? I said, I'm not buying that. I said, you know, I told you, you can get anything. It's off the menu, but I'm not buying that. She got mad, but I didn't buy it. I don't buy no poke. I don't buy nobody poke. I don't buy it for myself. I don't buy it for, I was like Dr. Seuss. You know, Dr. Seuss, the Cat in the Hat. I was like the Cat in the Hat. I said, I don't buy Seuss in the morning. I don't buy pig in the morning. I don't buy pig at night. I don't buy pig anytime. Pig just ain't right. And she was pretty irate, but that's okay with me. Okay? What say you, Cartrell?
I don't know how you was how successful you were with that young sister or whoever you took out on
it
a date.
It didn't work.
Before I go out on a date, I let them know that I'm an Israelite. I don't eat unclean food. I eat kosher food. We go into a kosher restaurant.
Hey, Cartrell, I told them all that. But these folks, I like they ain't hear nothing you saying. I told them all that. But they just want to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it, and don't want to follow instructions. She didn't have to go. I told her. I told her first quarter, Cartrell. Listen, I ain't getting you out there. Yum Soup is cold-blooded. No, I didn't. Yum Soup not cold-blooded. Yum Soup told the woman. Yum Suf. You know I'm a Hebrew Israelite, don't you? Yeah, I know what that is. Okay. I don't eat pork or any food that's not prescribed by the Most High. Okay, I understand. Soon they get it. Give me three eggs and four slices of bacon. Well, sometimes you gotta show them better than you tell them, Cartrell.
Well, you got to tell them. Maybe she didn't know that bacon wasn't kosher.
I told her. I said, now, pig, you can't get no pig. I ain't buying no pig. Now, if you eat pig, you ain't going to be eating with me at the table because I'm not going to look at you key yourself. Okay? And so she said she understood the rules. But apparently she understood and disregarded. So I saw that she understood and disregarded. I disregarded her. You won't play games? You heard what I said. So you don't take this seriously? I'm going to show you how serious it is. I ain't paying for that. It's just as serious. You think this is a game? I already told you first quarter, I don't eat unclean food. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I don't get out like that. So you just going to have total disdain for what I'm saying? I'm going to show you better than I can take it. I told you first quarter. Now, here we is halftime, and now it's time out. Okay? I ain't paying for it. I told you. Okay? Oh, you just trying to control somebody. You know, that's Nick that come out their mouth, Cartrell. You just trying to be controlling. I said, yeah, I control some of my money. Okay? You certainly right. I control some my money. Okay? That's the whole thing. I'm trying to control Missy. Okay? Go ahead, Cartrell.
Well, if you eating that bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich or that ham, egg, and cheese sandwich, you definitely ain't getting no kiss from me.
No. Truth be told. But like I said, that was the end of that going out together.
That's the biggest sign. Are you willing to follow the Most High way? Because you need a woman who is God-fearing, who will obey Yah's order. Because otherwise, if you're in a relationship with either the man or the woman is not following God, it's a bad relationship.
It is. It is, brothers and sisters. And sisters, that goes for you, too. That applies to you. If you going out with this fellow, And I don't be coding like that anyway. Yom Suf don't code. Yom Suf picks and chooses, but that was time back ago. But Yom Suf ain't got time for the coding. You know, we grown, you grown, you know what's up, you know what time is. You want to get with a brother? You know, the brother is with the Most High. You want to get with the brother? You like me? Yeah, I like you. Well, I like you too. I ain't got a whole lot of money spent on this dating. So we may go on several dates and whatnot to figure out what we want to do about one another. But I ain't dating you 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months. That's not going to happen. I figure about after the maybe. Because you don't want to be eating. You won't be getting to know one another, knowing and making a determining factor. I like Yom Suf. I want to be with Yom Suf. Yom Suf, I can see myself being with you. I like Sarah. You know, I can see my, but just be dating to be cold because there ain't going to be no booty calling. So that's not the question. Ain't going to be no booty calling. So that's not the question. So it's just trying to get to know. And I think you're grown enough, you ought to know after several get-togethers and whatnot. That's what I call them, get-togethers. After several get-togethers and doing you're asking all kind of questions and whatnot. And she ought to be asking you all kind of questions and whatnot. Then you can have some determining factor. Well, I kind of like her. I think we can do this thing. You know, she Hebrew Israelite. Maybe she has some propensity to being one. He Hebrew Israelite. Maybe he has some propensity to being one. I may give her a shot. I may give him a shot. You know, but Yom Suf don't be going out. So, like, spending money on women like that anyway. So, if Yom Suf is taking you anywhere, it's getting to know you. Seeing where you're coming from. Seeing what's up and what time it is. Because, you know, back in the day, sometimes it was one going out together, getting to know one another factor anyway. Because Yom Suf ain't got time to waste. And you shouldn't have time to waste for your life, too. When you go out with somebody, it should be going, no little girlfriend, boyfriend, coat thing. It's grown folk business. Like going out, I'd like to get to know you while we eating this meal and whatnot. Let me ask you about this. Let me ask you about that. And if you got somebody you going somewhere with and you try to entertain them, and they say you asking a lot of questions, that's it. You ain't got to ask no more questions. You ain't got to answer no more because that's what grown folk do. They ask questions to get to know you, and you should be asking questions to get to know him. Because I want to know, are you a serial killer? I want to know, do you like hitting on men? I want to know, do you like cursing men? I want to know, do you like cheating? I want to know how many times you cheated. I want to know, is you eating unclean food? I want to know everything I need to know, and you should want to know the very same thing also. Talking about some coding. I don't be coding. I be trying to gather information on you. Girl, I digress, y'all. I apologize. Contrary, go ahead, brother.
I don't know how we got from unclean foods to clean foods to cereal killers.
I digress. We definitely got to sweep all the flow and put it in a package, Contrary, because I sure went all over the area. And I do apologize, fellow students. Y'all probably sitting there thinking, what the hell is Yom Suf talking about? And I do apologize. Let's get back to the subject matter at hand. Contrary, you have any more commentary on this last chapter we just read?
Well, we've read three chapters already, and it's very detailed and specific in regards to the sacrifices that are acceptable to the Most High Yah. So you can take it for what you want. We ain't seen no human sacrifices in here yet.
No.
But, we're looking at the order of sacrifices.
Exactly. Well, if Katria are done, let us get back. Let's get back to the subject matter. Chapter 4. Let us continue. May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying, and most importantly, the application in His word in your lives. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelite people. Thus said this to them: When a person unwittingly, you know, not thinking, unwittingly incurs guilt in regards to any of the Elohim commandments about things not to be done, and does one of them, if it is the anointed priest who has incurred guilt, so that blames fall upon the people, because there's a residual effect, a domino effect, then we can't have no evil among us, folks. And you can't have no evil in your household. You can't have no evil in your household, because it's a domino effect. You can't have no evil among your people, although it may be unwittingly, because it's a domino effect. And as we can see, if it was the anointed priest, the high priest, or not simply the anointed priest, any priest was anointed. So it not only had to be the high priest, it could have been any priest who has incurred guilt unwittingly. So blames fall upon the people. He shall offer for the sin of which he is guilty a bull of the herd without blemish as a sin offering to the Elohim. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle before the Elohim and lay his hand upon the head of the bull. That's a big animal. The bull shall be slaughtered before the Elohim, and the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tent of the tabernacle, into the tent of the tabernacle. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood seven times before the Elohim in front of the curtain of the tabernacle. The priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of aromatic incense, which is in the tent of the tabernacle before the Elohim. And all the rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle. He shall remove all the fat from the bull of sin offering, the fat that covers the entrance, all the fat that is about the entrance, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, that is at the loins, and the protuberance on the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys, just as it is removed from the ox of the sacrifice of well-being. The priest shall turn them into smoke on the altar of burning, of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all his flesh, as well as his head and his leg, his entrails, his dung, and all the rest of the bull, he shall carry to a clean place outside the camp, to the ash heap, and burn it up in a wood fire. And it should be burned on an ash heap. You got to take it out the city. Just like in your family, you got to take it out. Domino effect. If it is the whole community of Israel that has erred, and a matter escaped the notice of the congregation, and everybody overlook it, they wouldn't just overlook something, so that they do any of the things which by the Elohim commandment ought not be done, the whole community, but they finally it dawned upon them and they realized their guilt, when the sin through which they incurred guilt becomes known, when you become aware of something, when you're wrong, you stop doing wrong, the congregation shall offer a bull of the herd as a sin offering and bring it before the tent of the tabernacle. The elders of the community shall lay their hands upon the head of the bull before the Elohim. It didn't say the young folk, didn't say the women, said the elders. And the bull shall be slaughtered before the Elohim. See, the elders have a leadership role, or should have a leadership role in our communities. They've stripped us of that. The young folk got leadership, and they just leading us into a hot mess. And the anointed priest shall bring some of the blood of the bull into the tent of the tabernacle. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of it seven times before the Elohim in front of the curtain. Some of the blood he shall put on the horns of the altar, which is before the Elohim in the tent of the tabernacle. And all the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burning, which is at the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle. He He shall remove all the fat from it and turn it into smoke on the altar. He shall do it with this bull just as he had done with the priest's bull of sin offering. He shall do the same with it. Thus the priest shall make expiation offering. He shall do the same with it. Thus the priest, now I'm rereading, thus the priest shall make expiation for them, and they shall be forgiven. He shall carry the bull outside the tent and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering of the congregation, the whole nation. Ain't no one no better than the other. When one of y'all doing wrong, or some of y'all doing wrong, and y'all don't know y'all doing wrong, then it finally dawn upon somebody, hey, man, we ain't right. Well, ain't one of y'all can just, hey, well, y'all ain't right. I didn't do none of that. Well, it was on you. So you need to stop thinking about yourself and think as a nation. Because when one spot is on the nation, the spot is on the whole nation. So Yom Suke said, well, look, me and Contrail, we was over here. We ain't got nothing to do with all that. Didn't make no never mind what Contrail and Yom Suke were doing. The fact of the matter, we're part of the nation. So whatever blemish was on the nation, the blemish was on Contrail and Yom Suke too. One for all and all for one. In case a chieftain, it is a chieftain who incurs guilt by doing unwilling, unbeknownst to himself, any of the things by which the commandments of the Elohim, his Yah, ought not be done, and he finally dawns upon him, he realizes his guilt, or the sin of which he is guilty of is brought to his knowledge, his attention, ain't no escape. He shall bring as his offering a male goat without blemish. He shall lay his hand upon the goat's head, and it shall be slaughtered at the spot where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Before the Elohim, it is a sin offering. The Elohim shall take with his finger some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering. And the rest of the blood shall be poured out at the base of the altar of burning. All his fat he shall turn into smoke on the altar like the fat of the sacrifice of well-being. Thus the priest shall make expiation on his behalf for his sin, and he shall be forgiven. If any person from among the populace unwittingly incurs guilt by doing anything which by the Elohim's commandment ought not be done, and it finally dawns upon him his guilt, or the sin of which he is guilty is brought to his attention or to his knowledge, he shall bring a female goat without blemish as his offering for the sin of which he is guilty. He shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and the sin offering shall be slaughtered at the place of the burnt offering. The priest shall take with his finger and some of his blood and put it on the horns of the altar of burning, a burnt offering, and all the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. He shall remove all fat just as the fat is removed from the sacrifice of well-being. And the priest shall turn it into smoke on the altar for pleasing odor to the Elohim. Thus the priest shall make expiation for him, and he shall be forgiven. You know, Contrail. Before I finish up the chapter, I'm what about if it's a woman?
Same thing.
Oh, she got to bring it too. She got to do the thing too, don't you? Okay. See, you sisters, you got to take yours there too. And you got to slaughter that animal. And see, you got to be very careful what you're doing now. Because like, women are very squeamish. But I don't know now. I've seen some women wring a cow's neck. But you got some men are squeamish when it comes to that sort of thing. And so the Most High wants you to be squeamish. Because what you're doing, it should cause you some alarm and concern that you had to put this animal to lay it low because of your shortcomings, whether knowingly or unknowingly. So what you ought to be cognizant of everything. all of your action and take and don't go about just doing things without contemplating what you're doing. So you don't be, had to be put in that position. Thank you, God, for enlightening our sisters about that, and Yom Suf also. If the offering he brings as a sin offering is a sheep, he shall bring a female without blemish. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and it shall be slaughtered as a sin offering at the spot where the burnt offering is slaughtered. The priest shall take with his fingers some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the horn of the altar of burnt offering. All the rest of the blood should be poured out at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, just as the fat of the sheep of sacrifice of well-being is removed. And this the priest shall turn into smoke on the altar over the Elohim's offering by fire. Thus the priest shall make expiation on his behalf for the sin of which he is guilty, or she, and he shall be, or she shall be forgiven. That's deep. That's deep. That is specifics. There's a blueprint for specification. It leaves no room for leaning to your own understanding. That's how you got to do it. Even when you're doing something unwilling, then someone say, hey, man, that ain't right what you're doing. What? Oh, Lord, you know what you got to do here. You know what you got to do to make it right. You've been given instructions. And that's what we were telling Gregory last night. You got to learn to follow instructions. If grown men got to follow instructions, grown women got to follow instructions. We all need to learn how to follow instructions. You know what, Cartrell? And the reason why I'm saying about following instructions, we got people right now that won't follow instructions for the CDC guideline for the life of them. They still want to show up, show out, and showboat, and party like a 1999. Don't. See, that's what you get for not following the instructions. Then they come up with COVID-19. Hey, man, how I get that? You know how you got it. You're hanging out. You're doing the same thing. Like, it ain't nothing changed. And the same applies. See, we have that DNA in us as a people. We don't want to be told nothing. We don't want to follow instructions. And then we're surprised the outcome. Man, how did it happen to me? You know how it happened. You don't follow instructions. That's how it happened. Well, how do we get in a situation where you don't follow instructions? That's how we got in this situation, all of us. I ain't just pointing out you. We all are stiff-necked and stuff. Don't want to follow instructions. Oh, man, that's so hard. Why I got to go take a son? Why I got to go take a way of being? Why I got to kill it? All these whys. Why not? That ain't hard. Why not? I mean, we go upside down, out of the way, to do something wrong. But when the Most High demands us to do something right, we got questions. Why I got to do that? But we'll go hell in high water to do something wrong. We'll spend a whole lot of time doing something wrong. As soon as the Most High said, Why I got to do that? You see where I'm getting at? Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend?
At this particular time, they wasn't asking a why. They was just doing it. And there's a particular order that they did this sin offering in. And it started with the priest that's anointed. And what did he have to bring?
He had to bring a bull.
Okay, he had to bring a bull. Mm-hmm. And then it talked about the nation. What did the nation have to bring? If the nation sinned unknowingly.
I think the nation had to bring a bull too.
The nation had to bring a bull too. And then it talks about the chief. What did the chief of one of the tribes or leader of the nation have to bring?
I think he had to bring a male goat.
He had to bring a male goat.
Unblemished.
Unblemished. And then if the individual had to bring an offering, what he had to bring?
I believe the individual had to bring a male sheep.
No, was it a male sheep?
Okay, a female sheep. No, excuse me. A female goat. Let me see.
B32 again, or 31.
Let me see. Let me get these bifocals out. Lord of the Lee.
Just start from 27.
Okay. La, da, da, da. Let me see. 27. If any person from among the populace, any person, male or female, unwittingly incurs guilt by doing any of the things by which by the Elohim commandments ought not be done, and it finally dawns upon him, he realizes guilt, or the sin of which he is guilty is brought to his attention, his knowledge, he shall bring a female goat.
Without you can stop there. If he can't bring a female goat, he can bring a female lamb.
Hold on. I'm reading the goat.
Go ahead.
He shall bring, I'm reading the female goat without blemish.
All right, keep going to 32.
Okay, then he should live for that 32. One, two. If the offering is a sin offering, if the offering he brings is a sin offering, is a sheep, he shall, if he, now you know what? If the offering he's bringing is a sin offering, is a sheep, he should lay his hand on the head, bring a female without blemish.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's important about that?
Well, it seems like to me, brother, it's either or. Because one is said the female, and then it says, but if the offering he's bringing is a sin offering, if he bring an ur, is a sheep, he should bring a female without. It's either or.
It's either or.
Right.
If he ain't got a goat.
Right.
He got to bring a sheep.
Right. It can be, if it's not a female goat, he can bring a female sheep without blemish.
So what's important about that?
Enlighten us, Godfrey. I'm kind of stuck.
Okay. So they say that the sacrifice that Jesus did away with all these sacrifices because he was sacrificing sins.
Okay.
You can't sacrifice a man if you've sinned. You have to sacrifice a what? A female goat or a female sheep.
Female sheep.
And
right.
He wasn't no female, was he?
No.
Okay, so we see the order of the sacrifices for sins. The high priest or the priest, any priest that's anointed, he must bring a bull.
Right.
If the nation sinned, the whole nation got to bring a bull.
A bull.
If a chief sins, he has to bring a male goat. He can't bring no female goat. But if the regular common man, an average Israelite, Yom Suf or Katriel, sins without knowing, we have to bring a female goat or a female,
female
sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Exactly.
So there's order to the sacrifices that the Most High said the priesthood of Israel would have forever. And there's a lot of blood that we read about in this chapter, but people go to the supermarket and don't see the blood. They just buy the packet of meat. You don't go to the butcher shop where you see and smell the blood that you buy for your everyday meat. But that's what happens when you go to the butcher shop. So here, you know, it seems like there's a lot of blood and they pouring it out on the base of the altar and they sprinkling it. But that animal was sacrificed for your sin.
Exactly.
So rather than your blood being spilled, that animal's blood is being spilled before the Most High. And it's not being eaten.
Is that blood being poured out at the base of the altar? Is that going into the ground? Or is that a catch it for that?
It's burning.
It's burning. Okay, at the base. Okay.
I believe it's burning in the base.
It's burning. Okay. All right.
Yeah. At the base of the altar, it's burning.
So, that's what we try to provide clarification for us fellow students. So everybody can see it in their mind's eye. It's just not spilled on the ground. It's burning at the base of the altar. It's burning. Okay?
So,
well, Cadre, you have any more commentary on it? If so, we're listening.
You see that we would have to offer up a lot of offerings for what we've done because a lot of people don't know. And like you said, even though we know, we're just as guilty as the rest of the people. The whole nation needs to bring up a bull. And
exactly.
There's no consensus for us to bring up a bull to sacrifice for the sins of our nation. So we're stuck until the Most High really reestablishes order individually, collectively, and our priesthood because we didn't even have one. So
exactly. So he cleans us up and get us right.
Yep, and reestablishes his priesthood, which we read about
exactly.
in Malachi. He said he's going to pass the Levites through that fire. I don't know if people remember, and maybe we have to go back over the prophecies, but he said he's going to pass the Levites through the fire because that priesthood is everlasting. Not the Pope and his priests or the rabbis and the board of rabbis. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about the sons of Aaron and the tribe of Levi.
They got to go through the fire.
They got to go through the fire.
Got to go through the fire. See if they right.
That's what the book of Malachi says.
Yeah. Well, ain't no, Kadri, if we got to go, you know we going back sooner or later. So ain't no if.
I just say
when we get through with this, we going to turn right back around and keep it going. And it don't stop till the Most High carries us away or the casket drops. One of the two. You have no graduation on the Real Talk for Real People show. It will continue on until the Most High come carries us away until the casket drops. No graduation. Okay? All right, Cartrell, my brother and friend.
I just want to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
That if we were agricultural people again, we would realize the value of not sinning. Because when you sin, you got to bring up a female sheep, and she gives birth to what? More sheep.
More sheep.
So that's your money that you sacrifice because you just got wrong.
Right.
Or if you got a bull, and you offering a bull is your money. A bull, it makes you money. A bull is your produce. If you got to offer up a bull, then you did something wrong. I mean, for the priests, that's on a higher level.
Yeah.
But for the people to offer up a bull, that's very expensive.
Yeah, and it should give you some incentive to do what's right. Because it costs you to do what's wrong. So that should be some incentive for you to do what's right. Because it costs you one way or the other to do what's wrong.
And believe it or not, when you raise those animals, it's hard to kill those animals and eat them.
Yeah, you raised it from a calf, and it followed you around, and, you know, know you when you're coming out and whatnot. Yeah, you kind of go attached to the animal.
Got a name for it?
Right. Mm-hmm. And now you got to sacrifice because you've done something wrong. So it gives you some incentive to stay on the straight and narrow. Okay? All right, Cartier, my brother and friend, we're all ears for another study session in Psalms.
All righty then. Go to the Psalms 107.
Okay. Okie dokie. 107.
And these particular Psalms seem to pray for the whole nation and break down our history and let us know our relationship, how close we are to the Most High. So give thanks and praise to the reading of the words that were left behind for us to pick up and activate. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, give thanks to Yah, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Let the redeemed of Yah say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. He hasn't done that yet, so we need to give thanks that we're awake, that he's about to do that. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto Yah in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. So every time they cried, every time they had a problem, Yah had the solution for them. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise Yah for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and fulfilleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of Yah and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Yah in their trouble, which always seems to be the solution. And he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise Yah for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhor all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto Yah in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word. He sent what? Oh, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Y'all got that? Y'all should underline that one. Because destruction is walking in the street. It's called COVID-19. But if you're riding on the word of Yah, guess what? You're going to be healed and delivered from the destructions that are round about us. Oh, that men would praise Yah for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing, that they go down to the sea, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of Yah and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises up the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro. They stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto Yah in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise Yah for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assemblies of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth their wilderness into a standing water and dry ground, into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city of habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so they are multiplied greatly, and suffer not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poured contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth the poor on high from affliction and make him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of Yah. Praise Yah, hallelujah. So praise. Through thick and thin, you got to roll with the punches, through the highs and lows, through the valley, the shadow of death. You got to hang on, you got to cling to the Most High. Through affliction, through sorrow, through suffering, through oppression, and all of these things, the Most High is watching. And he's going to pour contempt upon the princes and the people that do the afflicting. So he said he's going to lift the poor up on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock, which means he's going to multiply the families of the poor. He said, if you hang in there, the righteous will see it and rejoice. And all iniquity, yeah, we're waiting for that day when all fools in the world, he said they shall stop their mouths, because Most High going to win in the end. Your arms too short to even challenge the Most High. So whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand what? The loving kindness of Yah. Yeah, because he's giving everybody a chance. These are warnings. He's shouting warnings. He's making people understand that this day is coming, and he's giving us time to prepare. So either you're going to be walking the path of wickedness and iniquity and unrighteousness, or you're going to attempt to do what's right and pleasing in the sight of the Most High. So these are what these Psalms are for, so we could, you know, choose the path that we want to walk.
Exactly. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my brother. Well, I hope you all enjoyed our study session and my digression. I think we came back to the point of what we were talking about. The Most High is specific, and demands adherence to his specification, and that you can't lean to your own understanding. You can't make up anything anywhere. You have to do this a certain place, by certain people, and who is required to do these. The Most High leaves nothing to chance in our happenstance. Well, we don't know where you're going, but we were happy to have you with us on this study session. But we know you're getting ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Why? So you can stop leaning to your own understanding. You know our thinkers are broken. As we always say at the end of, in the conclusion of our study session, get you a new thinker. Pray for one. That's how you get one. King Dawood did. You know better than the king. Pray for a new thinker. One that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your neighbor, your brothers and sisters as yourself. The thirst after righteousness. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub bless you and direct you and protect you during this COVID-19 plague or any other plague for that matter. We love you. Thank you, Katriel, my brother. And thank you, fellow students. All right, Katriel, this is your favorite song, one of your favorite. I'm going to play it for you. Slow. All right, brother.
Her name, and I sing my lion song and brush my mane. She would, and she could, so she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain. That lions are made for cages, just to look at in delight. You dare not let them walk around, 'cause they might just bite. She knows what she does when she dances round my cage and says her name. Be good. Her name, I trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane, and I would if I could, but that woman treats me the same. When she dances around my cage. name. I sing my lion song, brush my mane, and she would if she could. So she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? Be Good is her name. I trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane. And I would if I could, but Be Good treats me the same. She said lions are made for cages, just to look at and delight. You dare not let them walk around, but they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? She dances around my cage. Does she know Be good, be good, be good.